This is EAA Radio, and I'm Wireless Mike. And again, we are joined by NATCA representatives Jim Allman and Bob Oma. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And we've had you guys in here quite a bit this week. We've talked about a lot of different topics. We're going to go with a little bit different direction. What is the history of NATCA at AirVenture?
Well, we have been here. This is our 20th year. 20th year that the National Air Traffic Controllers Association has some sort of presence here at AirVenture. I started 20 years ago with just a small booth, you know, giving away swag, trying to get the pilot community to come over and talk to us. And we've every year looked at ways to improve and get better. And we've changed locations a couple of times. We've expanded our tent a couple of times. This year was by far the best year we've ever had. No doubt about it. I'd say 2019 was an absolute success for us. We started doing forums in our tent at our booth last year. Before that, previously, we'd done occasional forums down at the Forum Center. We'd done one here, one there, but it wasn't steady, and we didn't feel like we were really getting our message across like we'd like to. So last year, we started doing some forums in our booth. To success, no doubt about it. A lot of people didn't know about it. We took placards out to the flight line and started handing them out and telling them to come by and see us, and we're going to be talking about certain things. This year was an absolute raging success. We did 22 forums, including 16 at our booth. We did 5 at the Pilot Proficiency Center, which is our first year there. I think that was a raging success, I'd say.
Absolutely.
And we did one of the forums at the Forum Center, which was the flying in and out of Oshkosh.
Excellent. So you've got a whole bunch of information out to the pilots. That's fantastic. And you also do a lot of stuff over at AirVenture. What have you been doing over there this year?
Yeah, along with the booth, we've been at Pilot Proficiency. Mostly we've been there as the pilots come in to do their IFR and VFR simulations. We'll answer any questions they may have throughout the week, anything that may have popped up from their simulation as they come out, maybe something they're unfamiliar with, the type of approach, something like that. So we're there. We also have a very large presence at KidVenture, probably one of the most rewarding things that we do here, not only talking to pilots, but just giving back to the youth and getting them interested in aviation. So we're over there. We do basic things like we plan a flight from Seattle to San Francisco. Then they come and they do a basic radar simulation. We teach them how math is fun. So we use time and speed. A lot of kids will sit down and like, do you like math? They're like, no. And I'm like, well, we're going to make you like math today. And so we do that. We take them to a tower simulator, and it's based here at Oshkosh, so they can land planes and clear them to take off at Oshkosh, which is pretty cool. They do some weight and balance, say pre-flight aircraft. And then with the great cooperation from the Air Force, they brought in a VR virtual reality simulator. And then so the kids, when they're all done, they get to go and fly an F-35 in virtual reality. So the kids get to kind of get, they feel the whole thing. They feel the pilot side, the air traffic side, and working together with our counterparts of the United States Air Force, which we're very thankful for, gives them that nice reward at the end to fly an F-35, which, you know, they leave the building with all smiles after that.
Yeah, and one of the things that we talked about is we're planning this Air Force now being there. Okay, how can we make it interesting? We decided to give all of the kids call signs when they showed up, and that was fun. Huh, Bob?
Yeah, my call sign is Banana, so some of ours are pretty fun call signs, but they wear them around, and so when they come introduce you, a lot of them introduce them with their call signs instead of their real name, so it's a really fun experience for everybody.
And you're looking at doing some more expansions for next year, making it even bigger. What are you looking at for the future that we can look forward to?
We figured that this year, just rough numbers, we had between 3,500 and 4,000 participants in our forums. So now we really, I think, know where our bread and butter is. It's got to be that outreach. We heard over and over and over, number one complaint, you need a bigger booth, need a bigger booth. So we're working on that. We actually expanded. We've expanded twice over the last 2 years. We've expanded. So we tactically invited our president, our union president, and 3 of his executive board members to tour everything that we did here, with the thought and the hope that we're going to have to go back and ask for a little bit more money. So we'll see how that goes. I think everything we heard from them was absolutely positive. I think hadn't been here in a couple of years and saw that. So I think they're gonna be very receptive to our ask.
Yeah, just cram them into the booth and show them how small it is, and they'll be like, geez, you guys need a bigger booth.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's right.
That's what we're going for.
Yeah, another thing this year, so we have a very good relationship with ALPA, Airline Pilots Association, and Joe DePete was gracious enough to attend this year. I think the first time ALPA president's been here in quite a while. He spent some time at the booth, and they are looking for some sort of expansion and a bigger presence here. So they came over, and they sat down and talked with us. We have an appointment back in Washington, D.C., with one of their personnel so that he could pick our brain about how successful we've been. He said, I drove by your booth the other day and it was standing room only. That's what we want to do. So, you know, we're helping our friends trying to prove their footprint here also.
That's fantastic. Now, on the grounds, you had a number of discussions with pilots. What did you hear from the pilots here at AirVenture this year?
Well, I think it's... Go ahead, Bob.
Well, I mean, a lot of it, I think, you know, Jim can contest this too. I think a lot of it is just pilots being kind of afraid to talk to air traffic controllers. And so them being able to see the voice, you know, the face of the voice on the radio was a big thing. You know, the one thing I heard over and over, I know Jim got some other things he heard as well, was pilots being afraid to ask for VFR flight following or asking, well, why do I need VFR flight following? It's not important. You don't want to talk to me. These are some of the things that we heard, and it's the exact opposite. As controllers, we want to talk to the pilots. We want to know their intentions. When you see a VFR target out there, it's just that it's a VFR our target. We don't know their intentions, what they're going to do, where they're going. So that was one of the biggest things I saw was pilots either asking, you know, why do they need VFR flight following, or telling us, you know, they thought we didn't want to talk to them, but we really do want to talk to them.
The biggest takeaway I took from this year was a couple of stories I heard from some of the pilots out there, and it has to do with what happens when air traffic control asks you to do something you're not comfortable doing, right? I think most pilots think that anytime air traffic control tells them to do something, they have no choice but to do it. But we reassured them that that's not always the case. I had a GA pilot come up and talk to me. He flew in and out of the West Coast, and I want to say he was going into Van Nuys or somewhere out there on the West Coast. IFR, 3,000 feet, and all of a sudden he has a Challenger up his six overtaking, and the controller asked him to make a right 180. And he said he had a bit more experienced pilot in his right seat, and he started the right turn, and as soon as he did that, there's mountains off to the east side there, and he immediately thought, oh boy, I'm not sure I should be doing this. Even his experienced pilot friend said, are you sure you've got this? He took the right turn, and he said, I've been thinking about it every day for the 2 weeks since that happened. So I talked him through that and explained to him that you don't have to accept a clearance if it's going to put you in an unsafe situation. Ultimately, you are in charge of the aircraft. You are up there. You see things we don't see. We see a map with lines on it, right? We don't know how close you are to the terrain. So I gave him a couple of pointers, and the pointer I gave him was offer the controller another option, right? Sorry, I can't make a right turn, but I can give you a left turn, no doubt about it. And help the controller maybe with a plan B. We're taught as controllers to always have a plan B, if not a plan C, and to assist the pilot, the air traffic controller a bit if you cannot accept what ATC is asking you to do.
Yeah, it's a negotiation, really. I mean, we do this a lot with the airlines as well, especially during weather deviations. You will have an aircraft that were around restricted airspace, and they need to deviate, and they can only go to the right, and to the right's military airspace. Well, we can call the military and maybe kind of shut down some of that airspace or block it or whatever the case may be, but it is incumbent upon a pilot. As a pilot myself, you know, I was taught this in day one of flight school, is you are the pilot in command. You are the pilot in command. You need to fly that aircraft safely. And, you know, air traffic controllers will never put you in a unsafe situation on purpose. But like Jim said, sometimes we just don't know. We don't know. Maybe there's a cloud out there that's building rapidly. We don't see on our radar yet as precipitation. You need to tell us those things so we can give you another option. And we can work together to find that option.
Yeah, I think the other complaint that I heard several times is, the number one complaint is we talk too fast.
Right?
I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's like we're auctioneers for some. We're trying to sell something.
Absolutely.
Don't know. I don't think we do it on purpose. I think it's just a habit.
Is there a speed test when you're applying for the job? You got to speak at least as fast?
Yeah, I mean, there probably should be if there isn't.
Yeah, remember the old FedEx commercial?
Yeah, right.
That's us sometimes. And I think that's the number one complaint, especially when an aircraft is in a descent or a landing phase. Taxi instructions after landing, right? I mean, Alpha to Bravo to Whiskey Hotel, then they're in your head swimming. And we gave them some pointers. You know, you just go back to the controller and say, that was a little quick for me. I wasn't ready. You know, can you read it just a little bit slower? And most of the time, controllers are going to be accommodating. You know, they don't want to have to repeat things over and over. And I really think we're not doing it on purpose. It's just something that happens.
It's subconscious. If you just worked 8 commercial jets and business jets, and your mindset isn't that, you know, they're professional pilots that are flying quite frequently to that airport, so you can give them the fast clearance, the Alpha Bravo Whiskey Charlie, and they just kind of know it. And then maybe that ninth aircraft is a Pilatus, you know, PC-12 that's never been there before. And so you know, just the little things like maybe saying we're unfamiliar with the airport. That'll cue a controller pretty quick if you say you're unfamiliar with the airport. Or like I've told many people this week, you can say you're a student pilot. If you're out there and you haven't flown in and talked to a controller in a long time and you're nervous, just say you're a student pilot. We'll give you special handling. We'll watch you carefully. We're going to automatically slow down our voice. So that's something you can do as well.
We're speaking with Jim Allman and Bob Obma from NATCA, and lots of people are leaving the air show. What kind of advice can you give them so they don't make mistakes?
Yeah, and I think this is something we talk about on a yearly basis, and this is something that we get back from the facilities quite a bit as well, is it seems that when people come into Oshkosh, they're very prepared. They plan for weeks. They're geared up, they're amped, they're excited, and then when they leave, it seems like there's a lot less preparation to leave. It's kind of last minute. Kind of, you know, turn the engine on and go. And a lot of facilities have issues with aircraft not reading NOTAMs out there for military airspace, restricted airspace, especially asking for flight following. You know, I've always told people that come to the booth, you know, we love giving flight following, but there are certain times of the year we can't. And this is one of those times around here that cannot give flight following. They just cannot. They're way too busy. So if you depart out of here and you expect to get flight following from Green Bay or Madison or Milwaukee, you're just not going to get it. The general rule of thumb, if you're going west, draw a north, south line from Wisconsin Dells. Anywhere west of there, you can try to get flight following. That's usually a good spot. If you're going south, it's going to be south of Chicago for sure. You may be able to get it Rockford Approach, maybe the southern half of Rockford Approach, probably more likely. So that's something where if you call for Chicago Approach, they will not give it to you. They're just extremely busy. It's not they don't want to. We're dealing with, you know, a 30-year staffing shortage. You know, we have less controllers we've ever had in 30 years. And then you add Oshkosh into the mix here. That's a, you know, a recipe for a lot of busy traffic. Be very safe through the flyway around Chicago. Depending on where Midway is landing, they're going to cross a couple hundred feet over your head. They got to be at 2,200 feet across the lake, and the flyway is at 1,800 feet. So just be very cautious as you go down the skyway or the flyway around Chicago as well.
And I understand that you also brought a message from some of the pink shirts around here.
I did. So our representative of the pink shirts is I spoke with him this morning. He wanted to pass along a quick message to everyone. We had a great week. We appreciate the hard work the pilots did preparing for the event by reading the NOTAM. They flew in complicated and busy airspace, and they showed mastery of flying their aircraft. Thanks to all of them that took a moment to stop a pink shirt somewhere along the grounds just to say thank you and to grab a selfie. We really appreciate everybody this week.
All right. Well, we've been talking to Jim Allman and Bob Obma from NATCA. And
if I could just interrupt, we just did want to say, too, thank you so much for letting us come talk. We really do appreciate it. That means a lot to us.
Yes, and we appreciate it, too. And we'll have to see you next year here on EAA Radio.